testimony as well. Great job. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening in today, at home audience, and those of you in the Life Center. I pray God will bless you as you take your Bible and open to the book of Daniel, chapter 5, verses 25 through 28. This is the handwriting on the wall. I've entitled the message this morning, God's Message for a Bad Leader. God's Message for a Bad Leader, Belshazzar, as he saw the handwriting on the wall. Page 889, if you want to use a pew Bible, that's where you'll find it. Daniel 5, 25. Everybody found it? The Life Center, have you found it? Good. Now this is the inscription that was written out. Many, many tekel upharsin. I'll just say to Brother Mike, the good thing about reading something in Chaldean is nobody know if I did it right or not. I mean, that's close enough. This is the interpretation of the message. Many, God has numbered your kingdom and put an end to it. Tekel, you've been weighed in the scales and found deficient. I like the King James, weighed in the balances and found wanting. I like that. 28, Peres, your kingdom has been divided and given over to the Medes and the Persians. This was the handwriting on the wall for a bad leader, and God would see it to completion. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'll remind us today that you rule in the affairs of men. You rule in the kingdom of men. And while, Lord, we recognize that you are transcendent, you're also eminently involved in this world and in our lives. We praise you for your transcendence and eminence. I pray, God, you'll show us today that all that's happening in our world is under your control. We recognize you as the divine sovereign today, and I pray you'll be king of every heart. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Bad leaders. They're all around us, and no nation and no political party is immune from them, not even in the United States. President Franklin Pierce was our 14th president. And while he was president, he was arrested for running down an elderly lady while he was riding a horse. Sadly, he was never arrested because of what the court called insufficient evidence. Rumor was President Nixon allegedly hated Washington News columnist Jack Anderson so much he actually considered putting poison in his medicine cabinet. Others say he planned to put LSD on his steering wheel, but he never did. Andrew Jackson actually taught his parrot Polly how to curse. President LBJ didn't need a parrot to know how to curse. Neither did Nixon. Grover Cleveland supposedly married his adopted daughter, 28 years his younger. President FDR took Al Capone's car while Al Capone was in prison and made it his presidential limo. And then there's the other president. The other president, you know, the one whose first name begins with a J, his last name begins with a B, and the last name ends with an N. President J.B., born in Pennsylvania, served as senator of a northeastern state in America for years and years and years. In fact, he's considered a lifelong politician, though he served under a famous president. J.B. ran for office several times before, but he always lost in the primaries. While J.B. was conspicuously absent during the months preceding the election, he actually won the election and served in a very troubled, chaotic time. He stoked racial tensions and caused America to be more racially divided than ever before. J.B.'s policies were so terrible, everyone knew he'd only serve one term. Historian William Cooper described President J.B. as a dull northern politician, end quote. Historian Patrick Clark said, quote, J.B. was dumbfounded when it came to knowing what to do. Kristen Coopy, authority on presidents in history, said, President J.B. doesn't really have a coherent logic, and he's mismanaged some of his greatest responsibilities. Politicians of J.B.'s party always cringe when he speaks because he gets himself in trouble. And while he did not intend to say things that were racial slurs, well, that's really what they were. And then there's that big Supreme Court decision J.B. supported to a fault. Even though it was a terrible, awful decision, that most Bible-believing Christians certainly hoped and prayed would be overturned. When J.B. took over, the nation ran up its largest deficit and debt in American history. Long story short, because of President J.B.'s policies, he is considered the worst president in American history. Now, you know who I'm talking about, right? First name begins with a J, last name begins with a B, and the last letter of his last name is an N. Oh, don't say a word. Here in Daniel 5, God had a message for another bad leader named Belshazzar. History tells us Nebuchadnezzar II had 6 sons and 3 daughters, and 5 of his 6 sons had the name Marduk in their name, who was the patron god of the Babylonians, supposedly wielded the sword and gave power to whoever worshipped him. One of Nebuchadnezzar's daughters married a guy named Nabonidus. Nabonidus made the moon god Sin, spelled appropriately S-I-N, a chief deity in Babylon. When Nabonidus was forced to leave Babylon to save his own life, his son, Belshazzar, ruled in his place. Since there's no word for grandson in the Chaldean, Belshazzar is called Nebuchadnezzar's son in 522, even though technically he was his grandson. Chapter 5 begins with the Medes and Persians having conquered all the area around Babylon, except for the city of Babylon himself. Cyrus the Great's huge army surrounded Babylon's walls, making it impossible for any Babylonian to escape. And so Babylon encircled Jerusalem, and Babylon was now encircling, being circled by Persia. You see the irony there. Babylon encircled Jerusalem just years earlier, and now Persia is encircling Babylon, proving the prophet Obadiah's words, "As you've done to Israel, it will be done to you." Well, Belshazzar thought to himself, "That's no problem. They can stand out there all they want. I got 20 years of food. I've got the Euphrates River running right through the middle of my city and right through by my palace. I've got food. I got water. We can wait them out for 20 years. They'll get hungry and go home." Seeing the great Persian army outside the walls made the people of Babylon nervous. So Belshazzar decided he would do something that would inspire confidence with the people and leaders and nobles of the land. He'd have a party, a big party, the mother of all parties, complete with music and booze served in the golden cups taken right out of the Jewish temple. Ooh, not a good idea. And so, as 1,000 nobles chugged booze and danced to Pink's Get This Party Started, Belshazzar bopped in, bouncing to the boogie in a bold, bodacious, bling-wearing outfit. I really enjoyed saying that. And with the golden goblet raised to the sky, the king yelled, "Here's to Marduk," and the crowd yelled, "To Marduk," and they chugged. Another temple goblet was raised to Baal, and the people yelled, "To Baal," and they drank. But as fast as the party started, it soon ended when a huge hand appeared and began writing on the wall. Words of judgment came. "Party's over, king." A huge hand appeared. "You're going down." And he did that very night. God has a message for a bad leader that said leaders who dishonor God will not last long. And they didn't. And they won't. And they don't. So what was God's message for a bad leader? Number one, your days are determined. Your days are determined. Look in 25 and 26. Now, this is the inscription that was written out many, many tekel upharsin. And this is the interpretation of the message. Many. God has numbered. You've dishonored the God of heaven. You've dishonored God's commandments and God's truth. And your days are numbered. Now, technically, his hours and minutes were numbered since he died that very night. The prophet Jeremiah predicted a 70-year exile in Jeremiah 25:11. And I want you to know this 70-year period of time here in Daniel chapter 5 wasn't just in the final chapter of that 70-year period. It wasn't just in the final page or paragraph. It was in the final sentences of that 70-year period of time. And for Belshazzar, whose name meant Baal protect the king, Baal couldn't help. Study the kingdoms of all the world's tyrants and you'll find out their power did not last forever. Whether it was Hitler or Hussein or Stalin, Idi Amin, Castro, Pol Pot, God numbered their days. Matter of fact, one of the most evil men ever to live, right up there with Hitler, was the founder of the Communist Party of China, Chairman Mao Zedong. He directly killed 6 million Chinese, as Hitler killed 6 million Jews. But Chairman Mao starved to death 20 million of his own people. His policies claimed the lives of 78 million people, which is more lives killed than Hitler and Stalin combined. Some of the things that Chairman Mao did to 14-year-old girls was so awful, heinous, terrible, I cannot even talk about it from the pulpit. In 1957, he had a campaign called 100 Flowers, where he encouraged all the people of China, go ahead, freely voice your criticisms. And 500,000 took him up on the offer. These 500,000 were sent to a labor camp and executed. Chairman Mao tortured his critics. He made them prove their dedication to communism by cannibalizing dissenters. He invited Nikita Khrushchev to go swimming with him once just to humiliate him, knowing Khrushchev couldn't swim. Still, when he died of Parkinson's in 1976, the nation mourned and worshipped his picture that suddenly appeared in Tiananmen Square. Many in China believe Chairman Mao is the greatest man ever to live, as the Chaldeans believe Belshazzar was the greatest man ever to live. But God had a single message for both. Many, your days are numbered. Bad leaders don't lead forever. That's true for King Saul. It's true for all the kings of Israel. Regardless of how powerful they were or how powerful they thought they were, bad leaders tend to have a short shelf life. And that could be said of President J.B. One of many candidates in his party who ran for president, but he won because he distanced himself from the nation's real problem, because many of his party supported that terrible, awful Supreme Court decision, that big one that split the nation. But remember, just because someone supports something, and just because the Supreme Court says it's right, doesn't make it right. The Supreme Court can be wrong, and great national leaders can be wrong. And J.B. was wrong, and so was Belshazzar. Bible teacher David Levy wrote in Israel My Glory, there's a link between how bad a king of Israel was and how long they served. That's powerful. Jeroboam's son Nadab practiced all the evils of his dad. He ruled 2 years. Elah killed King Baasha while in a drunken stupor. He was killed by Zimri after ruling 3 years. Zimri did evil and he ruled for a whole week. Shalom did evil 1 month. Pekahiah 2 years. Ahaziah did evil and worshiped Baal. He fell through the lattice of his second floor home and died. In Judah, consider the short tenures of these bad leaders. Ammon 2 years. Jehoahaz 3 months. Jehoiakim 3 months. And even here with this Babylonian coal region of Nabonidus, his son Belshazzar, he actually led the coup that would put his dad, Nabonidus, in exile. And knowing his dad would be in exile, he'd be first in line to rule as king, and he really liked that. He ruled for 12 years while his dad was gone, but he didn't rule forever. He died that very night. God numbered his days. The handwriting was on the wall. Proverbs 29:2 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people mourn. On one hand, God tells us to obey those who have rule over us, and we should. But on the other hand, we should always obey God rather than men. Knowing the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind. That means we can trust that God will do what is right, even if it takes him a while to do it. Now, I cannot explain why some evil leaders like Chairman Mao and Pol Pot and Castro and Saddam Hussein seem to get by with a lot of evil for a long time. But in the eternal perspective, it's really not that long. There was a payday someday for King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, and there'd be a payday for Belshazzar, and there'll be a payday for every bad leader. Obadiah wrote, as you've done, it will be done to you. Your dealings will be returning on your own head. That's not the law of karma. That's the law of sowing and reaping. As a man sows, that shall he also reap. Nobody gets by with anything. It's just that sometimes God gives some leaders more time to repent than he gives others, because the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's true for Belshazzar and the evil kings of Judah and Israel, and all the presidents of the United States, and President J.B., who was often in sharp disagreement with his own church because of his view on that one subject that divided the nation sharply on which the Supreme Court had ruled and ruled wrongly. And because Belshazzar was like his grandfather and not humbled himself and exalted himself above the Lord and not recognized the God of heaven, his days were determined, his time was short. His days were divided. Number two, God said, your leadership is deficient. Deficient, verse 27. Tekel, you've been weighed on the scales and found deficient. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. You've been weighed on God's balances and you've come up short. You've sinned in light of knowledge, but you didn't learn from it. You've deliberately defied God and deified yourself. Contrary to what you think, you're not the master of your fate and the captain of your soul. It's kind of like the little girl in the, what was the old show, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. She got up on the scales and it said bad egg or bad something. I don't remember what it was, but some of you in the Life Center, you might remember, what was it the sign said when she stood on the scales and went down? Well, that's the same way it was for Belshazzar. You're not a law unto yourself. You can't do as you please. You're deficient, king. You've done wrong. You don't get a passing grade. Toasting the gods of Baal and Marduk with holy vessels from God's temple will cause the God of heaven to act quickly as he did when Uzzah reached out to grab the Ark of the Covenant as it fell off a milk cart. Listen, friends, it's a dangerous thing to treat holy things as unholy. And that's what Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, did. They were deficient in their leadership. Not only were they guilty of stealing from the sacrifices, they were immoral with women who served in the tabernacle, and they were drunk. They were drunk. A man of God told Eli, judgment is coming on your whole nation because of your son's sins, and they would both die on the same day, and sure enough, they did. When Hophni and Phinehas went to battle against the Philistines, Israel was defeated, the Ark of the Covenant was taken, and when Eli heard about his son's deaths and the Ark being taken, he fell backwards and broke his neck, and he died. God judged the nation because of bad leaders. God judged the nation because of bad leaders. The leadership was deficient, so the people suffered. Belshazzar was deficient, so the Babylonians would suffer. Listen to Proverbs 28, verse 2 in the English Revised Version. I don't quote the ERV often. In fact, I've never quoted it, but listen to this. A lawless nation will have many bad leaders, but a smart leader will rule over a long time in the land where people obey the law. A lawless nation will have many bad leaders. A smart leader will rule for a long time in a land where people obey the law. Isn't that great? Hophni and Phinehas were lawless, and so was Belshazzar, toasting non-existent gods out of the holy vessels that came out of the temple. Friends, listen, those who do evil will suffer for their actions. Whether it's immediately or in time, they will. King Herod the Great eventually died of a rare kidney disease. He's the one that sentenced all the male sons two and under in the environs of Bethlehem to death. He eventually, very soon after that, he died. His grandson, Herod Agrippa, who accepted the praise of God, he gave the speech that day wearing his shiny silver suit, and the people said, the voice of a God and not a man. He just kept doing the Saddam Hussein thing, and God said, that's enough of that. Struck him, boom, with worms. Not a good way to go. Pontius Pilate, who washed his hands of Christ's blood, was called to Rome to stand before the Emperor Gaius because of his deficient leadership. The historian Eusebius tells us he took his own life. Pilate took his own life. That's the rest of the story for Pilate. Here's the bottom line, friends. Many A leader has been weighed on God's scales and found to be deficient, short of principle, short of character, short of integrity, short of honesty. Three archaeological finds confirm Belshazzar was King Nabonidus' son. It's always amazing archaeology confirms the biblical account. The Nabonidus Chronicle, the Cyrus Cylinder, the verse account of Nabonidus, all three make it clear Belshazzar, he couldn't call himself king. As his dad was in exile, he was technically the co-regent crown prince. He couldn't date documents after the start of his reign in the third year of Belshazzar. Couldn't do that. He couldn't have his name inscribed on the buildings. And here's the big one he could not do. He did not have the authority to take the king's role in setting feasts and ceremonies. Oh, wait a minute. What's he doing? Here he is in Daniel 5 holding a great feast for all the nobles. He took power he didn't have. He claimed authority he did not have. Bad leaders do that. They act beyond the scope of their given authority, and they do what they should not do, which in effect makes them guilty of deficient leadership. The Eller College of Management at the University of Arizona said there's 11 marks of a good leader. I like these. 11 marks. Here they are. Empathy, feeling what others feel. Confidence, helping others rally around a goal. Creativity, solving problems in non-traditional ways. Accountability, being held to high expectations. Transparency, having strong morality, values, honesty, character. Can we agree throwing a party to encourage the nation's top leaders to get drunk so that they would think there's no danger when in fact there really is a danger is a foolish thing to do and is a definite sign of a lack of integrity? Hence the word tekel, weighed and found wanting. Bad apple, bad. Was President J.B. deficient in leadership? Historian Gene Baker said, quote, "He let his friendly cabinet members run their departments with little oversight. Several proved to be extremely incompetent and corrupt," end quote. Historian Mark Summers described President J.B.'s administration of malfeasance as, quote, "the most devastating proof of government abuse of power since the founding of the Republic," end quote. Deficient leadership. Belshazzar's days were numbered. They were determined. His leadership was deficient and disastrous. And number three, God said, the handwriting on the wall, your nation will be divided and destroyed. Divided and destroyed. Verse number 28, Perez, your kingdom has been divided and given over to the Medes and the Persians. As I told you earlier, this Chaldean word for Paris gives us our English word parse, P-A-R-S-E. When you parse a verb, you divide it up into many different parts, case, mood, voice, all the syntactical parts of gender and person, all those things. God told Babylon's king, your kingdom is about to be parsed. It's going to be divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And I'm sure old Belshazzar thought, no way. 20 years of food, river runs right through the middle of the city. There is no way. I've got everything I need to stay in power as the co-regent slash prince slash king. That's what he thought himself was for decades. But he didn't. The Greek historian Herodotus says that Babylon fell that very night. And so does God's word there in verse number 30. And he dated the fall, generally October 12, 539 B.C. The Euphrates River flowed under the city from the north wall, flowed out of the city through the south wall. And Cyrus, the Persian general, had this brilliant plan to capture the fortified city of Babylon. Here's what he did. For 2 years, many of his soldiers were around the wall, just sitting and standing and waiting and camping. But way upstream, he had people out of view. Soldiers were digging a canal that would divert into a big swamp area, the entire Euphrates River. And wouldn't you know it, they finished the canal the night Belshazzar had his drinking party. And as soon as Cyrus cut into the bank of the river, the water flooded into that swamp, and it was like somebody turned off a faucet. You've seen pictures of Niagara Falls when they cut off the water. They bypassed it, and it went dry. That's exactly what happened in the city of Babylon. And suddenly the mighty Euphrates stopped flowing in the city, causing the water level to sink way below the walls, allowing the Persian soldiers to enter the city under the walls on the riverbed. Herodotus tells us the Babylonians were so surprised at what was happening, they surrendered without a fight. There's a Jewish teaching tool called the Jewish Midrash. It says Belshazzar's own soldiers killed the king. Others say he was captured and killed. Others say he took his own life. Anyway, you want to slice it and dice it, he died that night. What's certain is the Babylonian Empire was taken by Cyrus the Great, divided into four regions ruled by Cambyses, Smerdis, Darius, and Xerxes. This was the part of Nebuchadnezzar's statue in his dream, represented by the silver chest and the arms. And this was the beast in Daniel 7:5, resembling a bear with three ribs in his mouth, raised up on one side, which shows the Persians were greater than the Medes, hence the side raised up a little higher than the other. The three ribs taken are the three empires. Cyrus conquered the Lydian Empire, known as Asia Minor, and Babylon, and Egypt. There's the three ribs. God said, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Verse 30, that same night, Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was slain. Turn out the lights. The party's over. God said it, and it was done. God's message for a bad leader came to pass. There's an old hymn that puts it this way. Noel Shaw, I think it was his name, something like that. At the feast of Belshazzar and 1,000 of his lords, while they drank from golden vessels as the book of truth records, in the night as they reveled in the royal palace hall, they were seized with consternation, 'twas the hand upon the wall. Oh, friend, listen. This morning I pray the hand of God, the handwriting is not on the wall for our country. I pray the handwriting of God is not on the wall for our country. I hope and pray there's still time to repent and turn to God and carefully select leaders at every level of government. We need men and women at every level of government who are people of principle and character and integrity and high morality. And unlike our worst president, whose first name begins with a J, last name with a B, whose last name ends with the letter N. Of course, you know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about President James Buchanan. Yeah. Andrew Jackson's ambassador to Russia. President Polk, Secretary of State, supported that awful Dred Scott case made by the U.S. Supreme Court that said enslaved people are property, and his belief and support of that put him in direct conflict with the Presbyterian church where he attended. Buchanan tried to keep slavery legal, and he made supporters cringe when he made stupid statements like, I thank the Lord I live in a state where we don't have to worry about slavery here. What a terrible thing to say, yes. James Buchanan ran up more debts and deficits than any president before him. U.S. News and World Report called James Buchanan America's worst president. And the fact is, after his one-year term, America split and entered into a terrible, bloody civil war. Now, let me say this again. Hear this carefully. I realize, admit, and confess, both parties have good presidents and both parties have bad presidents. That is a fact. I just pray God will let us know which is which. Let's pray. Father, as we look at a land today, we see a troubled land. God, we pray there's not those words, many, many tekel upharsin, on the wall of our nation. God, we pray and plead for your grace. We pray for your mercy. We pray for a vast, great revival in our land. Let it start in our churches, spill over to our cities, our states, our nation, that affects every level of government, local, state, federal. God, we need your hand to turn us in the right way. Lord, we are believing the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and you have the power to turn it whichever way you choose. So we pray you'll turn us in the right way. Lord, we know without Jesus we're all deficient. Without Jesus we've all come short of your glory. We know without him that our days are numbered. And Lord, we're in trouble. Thank you, Lord Jesus died for our sins on the old rugged cross so we could be declared righteous, though we aren't inherently righteous. We're unrighteous, but in Christ we can be declared righteous. Father, if there's one here this morning that's never received Jesus as Lord and Savior, as we have this invitation, I pray you'll tug at their heart to make things right with you. And Lord, for Christians who are saved, I pray you'll remind them, Lord, of the importance of living for you and what very well could be not just the last chapter, last page, last paragraph, perhaps the last sentence of your grace period. Help us to live for you, Lord. Thank you that in Christ we can be born again and have new purpose. and a new worldview. Let it be so for everyone in this building and those watching and those in the Life Center is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll stand at the front this morning. I think our invitation is at 3:22. Have you been born again? I think that's it. You must be born again. And we have counselors that know how to share with you from an open Bible how you can know Jesus, how you can be saved, and you can be certain. If you'll come, I'll talk to you for just a minute, pair you up with someone of like gender, go in a quiet place to make sure you're 100% certain when you die, you're heaven bound. So when you lay your head on the pillow at night, you can say, you know, that I know I'm going to heaven. And I know things are good between me and Him. If I die before I wake, I know the Lord my soul will take. What a great thing to be able to pray. Do you know you're saved? 100% sure. 3:22, I'll wait for you. Let's stand and sing. You come if you need to come. Terribly sad and ironic thing to be singing you must be born again and not be 100% sure you have been. If you're not 100% sure, why not come right now? Last verse, if you need to come, come on right now. Maybe God's tugging at your heart about something else, about being a member of Scott Lake, of rededicating, whatever it is. Now's the time. Do what God wants you to do. Nothing more, nothing else, nothing less. Last verse. Good. Thank you for being here today, and I hope to see you back tonight. If you like Southern gospel music, you'll enjoy tonight very much. These guys are kind of like, and I've said this before, they're like the Statesmen and the old Sons of Song and some of the older groups. So if you enjoy old-timey quartet harmony, Southern gospel style, you'll enjoy these guys tonight, 6:30. And hope you can come back Wednesday night. We'll be in Daniel chapter 6, I believe it is Wednesday night. And so... have a great day. Brother Allen, are you our prayer?
Yes, sir.
Let me just personally thank you for your generous giving to Scott Lake and pray that God will continue to bless us as we give and seek to do His will here at this place in our community and around the world through our cooperative program and through our direct work in Colombia. So thank you for your help in all ways and your giving.
Pray with me, please. Most gracious, most kind Heavenly Father, we come before you today as this service ends, but our service is just beginning. As we go from this place, help us to embrace your Holy Spirit, to yield to the leadership of your Spirit in our lives, that we might be the witnesses, we might be the light, we might be the salt that you have put out into the world. Help us, Lord, to go casting our bread upon the water, to go giving joyfully to your kingdom's work, not only here, but throughout the world. Bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. See you tonight.